Welcome to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Knowing that ultimately it's God who does the healing, Dr. Medici acts as the maestro, orchestrating a person's health through right timing and right therapies, using traditional, natural, alternative, and spiritual practices. Dr. Medici says it's time for people to wake up to their innate potential to heal and to be given a doctor who can orchestrate that healing. Dr. Medici is currently working toward his PhD in biochemistry at Long Beach University, with additional study in acupuncture, kinesiology, and quantum medicine. He's the curriculum director of the Santa Monica Shiatsu School. And now, here's Dr. Medici.
Good morning. Good morning, everybody. Boy, does it pay to be in L.A. today. What are we going to get, 80, 85? It's the middle of November, end of November. I remember growing up in New York City, I could not stand the winter. Many of you share that sentiment. And as an athlete training, every winter you had to be more careful. There were always going to be more sprains, more strains, more aches. Grandma's arthritis would always get worse. And even as a boy, you could begin to understand the relationship between, well, you didn't know it then, but the relationship between the blood, cold weather, and the muscles. And that's today's show, Blood and Muscles. A relationship that other dimensions of medicine, Eastern medicine, Chinese medicine, Indian medicine, old European medicine, would understand that the condition of the blood could prophesize the condition of the body, that disease conditions and blood conditions were just a reflection of each other, and that you used the muscular system to predict where the organ was going to be eventually. Now, in Chinese medicine, we call this blood stagnation or blood stasis. And the organ that we give responsibility to for controlling blood stasis is the liver. The liver that does 1,600 different things, known functions of the liver, 1,600. Today, modern science continues to overlook these relationships, that the liver controls the blood and that the blood controls the muscle is really at the fundamental of all of what's developed today as orthopedics. When you're talking about a joint and whether it aches and pains, you're talking about the liver and the blood. When you're talking about arthritis, you're talking about the liver and the blood. When you're talking about words that mystify many, like fibromyalgia, today's show is actually entitled Fibromyalgia, the relationship between blood and muscles. No matter which way you cut it, you're not going to be able to give effective therapy to an individual with anything like fibromyalgia, like what aches in the muscle that hasn't been termed fibromyalgia, like any orthopedic condition, a disc herniation, a disc bulge, and all the various facets of disc issues, issues within the joint. You're not going to be able to give any effective therapy to anybody unless you first consider the blood. Now, the liver, as I said, is the filtration system for the blood. So rather than focus continually on the symptom, and this is a symptom, any symptom, right across the board, from a cancer to a Lyme disease to a joint replacement to an autoimmune disease, we have to go to the blood, and then we have to go to the liver. Now, what there is to understand is that, and this is the fascinating part of this, is that the brain is always watching the blood. The brain, via the autonomic nervous system, is always watching the blood. So that anytime the buffer systems or the regulatory systems in the blood that have to be kept at a homeostatic level, in other words, the brain is always watching the blood so that the blood changes in only a tiny way. And if it does, the body compensates it immediately. I'll give you an example. The pH of the blood. Now, most of you are on top of that word pH, the acidity versus the alkalinity of the blood. And we all hear the issue about the pH of the body. Well, we don't mean the pH of the blood, nutrition advocates that are always taking the pH. You know, of course, this is never the pH of the blood because you test it through the urine. But the pH that you're checking, the acidity or the alkalinity, is never about the acidity or the alkalinity of the blood. It's about the acidity or alkalinity of the intercellular fluid. This, of course, is what's of prime significance. But the pH of the blood, it's always constant. It's always around 7.4. And if it goes to 7.3 or 7.2 or 7.5, you're in a lot of trouble. It's one system that the brain constantly keeps at a constant. Mineral balance. Here's an example of another entity that the brain is going to keep at a certain level. If you're measuring your sodium levels and your potassium levels and your magnesium levels and your phosphorus levels, if you're measuring what is generally measured through blood testing, those ions, those minerals, can vary greatly in the tissue. If you're magnesium deficient, right? If you get cramps and somebody tells you, oh, you're magnesium deficient, we don't mean in the blood. There's no such thing really as potassium, magnesium, sodium, calcium, phosphorus deficiency in the blood. But it's of enormous significance if you're considering the tissue, the space in between the cells or inside the cell. The last place you're ever going to find a problem is the blood. And this is a built-in mechanism driven by the intelligence, the central intelligence of the body, the nervous system, to keep you functioning normally. When you have deficiencies in the blood, you're in the ER room at the hospital. So rarely do we get them. What we do is we depend on our massive number of reserve systems to buffer the blood. Here's the fascinating part of the discussion now. The blood is controlled by the liver. So that if in fact the brain sees things going askew in the blood, one of the buffer systems it depends upon is the liver to clean all that garbage out of the blood, so we don't have to go into shock, to an alarm state. That buffer system in the blood is in part controlled by that big, healthy organ in the upper right quadrant of your body called the liver. The liver is the filtration system for the blood, controlling all the buffer systems, and that's the point. Now, this is the wonderful part. The minute that liver becomes sluggish, and we know what that means, and we'll just review that just basically in a moment, but the minute the liver becomes sluggish, then the concentration of poison starts to build up in the blood. And now what does the body do? Well, it's going to try to excrete it through the kidney. It's going to try to excrete it through the skin. It's going to try to excrete it through the breath. It's going to try to get it out. And when it can't, the brain, through the way the body's hemostatics, the way its diffusion processes, its osmotic qualities are designed, the brain is going to push all the garbage from the blood into the muscles. Now, this is where orthopedics comes in. This is where words like fibromyalgia come in. This is where Eastern medicine is understood, that what you use to determine where the liver's at and where the blood is at is by touching the muscles. The muscles in the joints are just reservoirs for overflow that should come out the liver that can't. Now, right there, if you get that one, you got the whole show today. Because then you start looking at the muscular system as simply a flag for what's going on in the liver. The muscular system is simply a flag for what's going on in the organ systems. That's a deep concept. That's a concept that abides in Chinese medicine, in Vedic medicine, in old European medicine. I'm going to say that's a concept that abides in world medicine. A universal law in medicine, if you're looking at it correctly, if you have clarity in the way you really see the body, the evolution of the body, the evolution of disease, is to continually use the condition of the muscular system as a reflection of what's going on in the blood and in the liver, and you could even say in the organ systems. So when we look at a word like fibromyalgia, what we're talking about with fibromyalgia, if you have fibromyalgia, if you have joint pain, if that musculoskeletal realm of you is in concern, you've got to go inside. You've got to forget the muscle and understand that the muscle is just a reflection of the blood, and the blood is in deep dynamic relationship. The blood is an organ. So the blood's not just the blood. The blood's an organ. The blood is its own entity. And blood stasis and blood deficiency, blood stagnation, and its relationship to the muscles, well, that's the new age of medicine. That's the old age of medicine translated into new realms. Now, we talk about blood viscosity. Blood viscosity is an issue in hematology. In hematology, we have dimensions of it that think in terms of blood viscosity. I've put on past shows labs. The Meridian Valley lab. Meridian Valley has actually a machine that measures blood viscosity. You don't need a machine. All you need to do is pinch an inch, I say. Pinch an inch. If you're sitting there listening to the show with a loved one right now, have your significant other just touch an arm, touch a leg, and gently but firmly press their thumb into your muscle, into the muscle of the arm, into the muscle of the back of the neck, into the muscle of the leg. And if you press gently at first, and then if you press towards the bone, if the person being pressed upon says, ow, that aches, it's telling you the blood is way too thick. We could do so much in medicine if we understood this. It's a palpatory test. To press into the muscular system, to press into the muscular system, and to find that you feel bruised, that you feel bruised all over. Well, you know what I just did? I just defined fibromyalgia. The definition of fibromyalgia is to press into 9 different points on the body, and if 9 different points are all tender, your rheumatologist, your orthopedist, your general doctor can tell you you have fibromyalgia. A big word. It's one of the most horridly abused terms in medicine. Because it doesn't mean anything. It's like if you walked into a doctor because you had a pain in your head and your doctor said, after hours of analysis, you have a headache, what would you say to your doctor? It's no different with fibromyalgia. If your muscles ache, and they ache continually, and you walk into a doctor's office, and after 2 hours or 1 hour or whatever, your doctor says you have fibromyalgia, it's a big word for your muscles ache. But I want to extend this into the joints. I got into nutrition originally. Originally, my training was as a chiropractor. As some of you know, I was valedictorian of my class in 1990.